This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Mary Jo Pullen, and this is Diabetic Living. Should you eat red meat? Plant-based diets have been increasing in popularity over the past few years. At the same time, many people are adopting a keto diet, and some the more extreme carnivore diet. So which approach is the right one for your health? Diabetic Living magazine dietitian and diabetes educator Dr. Kate Marsh explores the research on red meat and diabetes to help you decide where meat fits into your eating plan. The pros and cons of eating red meat. Red meat is a good source of protein and other key nutrients, including iron, zinc, and vitamin B12. The iron found in red meat is also readily absorbed, which can help with increasing iron stores and reducing the risk of iron deficiency anemia. But when it comes to our health, eating red meat also has some downsides. At least 25 studies looking at the relationship between meat intake and the risk of type 2 diabetes have been published, and the majority have shown a positive association, meaning that the more meat you eat, the higher your risk of diabetes. The highest risk is with processed meats, likely because of the chemicals used in processing. But unprocessed red meat also appears to be a problem. A 2021 meta-analysis combined the results of 15 studies and compared participants with the lowest intake of red and processed meats with those with the highest intake. They found that the risk of type 2 diabetes was 27% higher for processed red meat and 15% for unprocessed red meat. The association between red meat and diabetes may be one of the main reasons that vegetarian diets are associated with a lower risk of type 2 diabetes and have been shown to help with diabetes management. High intakes of red and processed meats are also associated with a higher risk of other chronic diseases, including cardiovascular disease and some types of cancer, particularly bowel cancer. Why is red meat a problem? There are several components of red meat which might explain the link with diabetes risk and other health issues. The most well studied is the iron in red meat, known as heme iron. This type of iron is well absorbed by the body, which is why red meat is usually promoted as the best source of iron. The downside is that too much iron is a problem. And unlike plant sources of iron called non-heme iron, whose absorption depends somewhat on our body's iron stores, heme iron absorption isn't controlled and can build up and contribute to disease risk. Both heme iron intake from our diet and high iron stores in the body have been linked with type 2 diabetes risk and the risk of gestational diabetes. High intakes of total protein and animal protein, but not plant protein, have also been found to be associated with an increased risk of type 2 diabetes. However, switching red and processed meats for other sources of animal protein, including poultry, seafood, eggs, or dairy foods, appears to reduce the risk. This suggests that if you are cutting down on animal protein, the greatest benefit for your health will come from reducing red and processed meats. More research is needed, but there is also some evidence that dietary advanced glycation end products, or AGEs, and trimethylamine N-oxide, or TMAO, may play a role. TMAO is formed when the bacteria in our gut metabolize choline and carnitine, nutrients found in large amounts in red meat. AGEs are discussed further coming up. Ways to include red meat into a healthy eating plan. If you enjoy meat, you don't need to cut it out altogether, but cutting down may benefit your health. Current research suggests the greatest risks appear to come with processed meats, so these are best avoided or kept for special occasions. Instead, choose small amounts of good quality, lean, unprocessed meats and balance out your plate with plenty of vegetables. You can reduce your intake of meat while still enjoying the taste by replacing some of the meat in your favorite meals and adding plant protein in its place. For example, you could add lentils or beans into ground meat, strips of tempeh or edamame beans in a beef stir fry, chickpeas in a lamb curry, and beans or lentils in your favorite meat-based casseroles and stews. The way you cook your meat is also important. When meat is cooked at high temperatures and the meat is browned or charred, such as grilling, barbecuing, and roasting, compounds called dietary advanced glycation end products, AGEs, are produced. While more research is needed, some studies have shown an association between dietary AGEs and cardiometabolic risk, including the risk of type 2 diabetes, due to an increasing inflammation and oxidative stress. AGEs may also contribute to diabetes-related complications. You can reduce the formation of AGEs by cooking with moist heat, using shorter cooking times, cooking at lower temperatures, and by use of acidic ingredients such as lemon juice or vinegar. Examples include slow cooking, poaching, stewing, or stir-frying meat rather than grilling or roasting. And if you enjoy meat on the barbecue, marinate the meat first and include some lemon juice or vinegar in the marinade. Tips for switching red meat for plant protein. Unsure how to get started? Here are a few ways to replace the red meat in your meals with plant protein. Switch ground beef for brown lentils in dishes like spaghetti bolognese, meatloaf, and shepherd's pie. Try bean or chickpea patties rather than meat patties in your next burger. Replace ground beef in Mexican dishes like tacos and nachos with black beans or red kidney beans, or you can buy canned chili beans. Substitute beef strips with marinated tofu or tempeh in a stir fry. Tempeh has a chewy, meat-like texture, but also a stronger flavor than tofu. Lentils and chickpeas work well as a meat alternative in Indian-style curries. And use legume-based pastas made from lentils and chickpeas and add some tomato passata or puree or pesto and your favorite vegetables for a quick, easy, plant-based meal. How to save your brain. In her new book, Save Your Brain, Dr. Jenny Mansberg explains dementia and the steps you can take to minimize your risks. Regular checkups are a good place to start. U.S. data shows that almost half of all U.S. adults age 45 and older have risk factors for dementia that could be easily reversed. Not doing so is a massive missed opportunity. Looking after your brain translates pretty well into looking after your heart. It seems that there is mounting evidence that when it comes to brain health, what we do to protect or trash our health in midlife matters more than what we do in old age. I'm definitely not saying that if you wait until 70 to overhaul your health, get fit, and get a cholesterol check, that it's game over. But the best returns for your brain health are definitely when you're younger, in midlife. Deafness. I'm starting here because this condition, perhaps unexpectedly, has the most profound impact on your risk of dementia, more than smoking, diabetes, or high blood pressure. A massive meta-analysis of studies was done in 2017 and was later updated to include even more trials in 2020. It was published in the prestigious medical journal, The Lancet. It named hearing loss as the single biggest risk factor for cognitive impairment and dementia. Research is ongoing as to why this is such a significant indicator of the development of dementia. The authors pointed to a small U.S. prospective cohort study of 194 people aged on average 54 to 55 years with normal cognition. They had at least two brain MRIs, on average 19 years apart. The study found that people with midlife hearing impairment measured by audiometry had steeper temporal lobe volume loss, including in the hippocampus. The current theory is that hearing loss just reduces brain stimulation, and this might be the direct cause of cognitive impairment and dementia. High blood pressure, also known as hypertension. Blood pressure is the pressure inside your arteries, measured in millimeters of mercury, or mmHg. The top number, or systolic blood pressure, is when your heart contracts, and the bottom number, or diastolic blood pressure, is when your heart relaxes. So you might hear that your blood pressure is 120 over 80. The current definition of hypertension, or high blood pressure, is systolic blood pressure of 130 or more, and or diastolic blood pressure over 80. There is no doubt about it, having high blood pressure is bad for you. Hypertension increases the risk of strokes, heart attacks, heart failure, atrial fibrillation, and premature death. These risks increase the higher your blood pressure goes. Anything starting from systolic blood pressures as low as 115. Hypertension is also the number one modifiable risk factor for vascular dementia. The jury is in, and now we have robust evidence that hypertension is linked to cognitive decline later in life. And the biggest risk is having high blood pressure in your midlife. A 2017 study found an extra 20% increase in risk of dementia for every 10 millimeters of mercury rise in systolic blood pressure during midlife. That is massive. Unfortunately, we are still trying to work out how it causes so much brain damage. Strokes. Having a stroke doubles your risk of dementia. In 2018, the World Health Summit was convened to bring together academics, policymakers, heads of pharmaceutical and device industries, and entrepreneurs to focus on the UN's sustainable developmental goals under the leadership of the World Health Organization. Before this summit, a specialized group researching the interaction of stroke and dementia and trying to prevent them happening together gathered in Berlin to highlight what is known and what needs to be done next. The result of their findings, the Berlin Manifesto, was published in 2019. Stroke and dementia confer risks for each other and share some of the same largely modifiable risk and protective factors. In principle, 90% of strokes and 35% of dementias have been estimated to be preventable. Because a stroke doubles the chance of developing dementia, and stroke is more common than dementia, more than a third of dementias could be prevented by preventing stroke, the authors declared. Diabetes. People with diabetes suffer from more blindness, more small nerve damage, especially in the feet, and more kidney damage, as well as heart disease, strokes, and problems with blood supply to the feet and legs. A meta-analysis of 28 prospective observational studies found that people with type 2 diabetes are 73% more likely to get dementia, 56% more likely to get Alzheimer's disease, and 127% more likely to be diagnosed with vascular dementia. What's messy is that all the factors that make diabetes more likely to develop in someone are also risk factors for dementia. We know that insulin resistance underpins diabetes, and brain scans of patients with dementia often show patchy areas in the brain where there is reduced glucose metabolism. Many researchers have postulated that insulin resistance within the brain might drive the development of Alzheimer's disease, with many calling it brain-specific type 3 diabetes. Is it the diabetes that causes the dementia, or are they both diseases of poor lifestyle and so often crop up together? That's particularly important when looking at trials of anti-diabetic medications for the prevention of dementia or to stop it from getting worse. And those trials are a bit of a mixed bag, to be honest. The authors of a 2017 Cochrane review of 7 randomized controlled trials concluded, "We found no good evidence that any specific treatment or treatment strategy for type 2 diabetes can prevent or delay cognitive impairment." In fact, a couple of trials for some diabetic medicines found that they could make cognitive impairment worse. I wanted to say a quick word about metformin, which is the most popular first-line medication to treat diabetes. I was intrigued to read the findings from a Canadian study published in 2020. The study followed 2,000 people with diabetes taking various medications over time. Here's what they found. Among the diabetics who had normal cognitive test results at the start of the study, those taking metformin did better on memory tests when measured after 2 weeks and again after 2 years than people taking other diabetic drugs, all of which didn't affect memory performance either way. With the exception of a group of drugs called sulfonylureas that can cause low blood sugar as a side effect, the memories of the participants taking this got worse over time. As part of the same study, the authors looked at people specifically carrying the APOE gene. Those who took a diabetes drug class called DPP-4 inhibitors had a much slower cognitive decline than non-carriers. But strangely, metformin didn't give any cognitive benefits to this group with the APOE gene. The bottom line is, if you have diabetes, you're going to need a treatment. Maybe you would choose metformin, especially if you don't carry the APOE gene. If you do have that gene, you might opt for a DPP-4 inhibitor. But mostly, you want to have a great diet, one that includes lots of healthy veggies, fruit, whole grains, and lean protein foods, as well as little junk food and soft drink as possible. Plus, you really ought to increase your exercise, sleep well, and control your blood pressure and cholesterol. High cholesterol. Observational data about the link between high cholesterol and dementia have actually been a bit mixed, with some studies finding a strong link and others finding no link at all. When it comes to relating high cholesterol to developing dementia, it is hard to separate high cholesterol from other risk factors like, for example, high blood pressure. In 2021, a massive British study of almost 2 million people found that having high LDL, also known as your bad cholesterol in midlife before 65 years, is modestly associated with dementia risk more than 10 years later. We're talking a 5% increased risk. The researchers didn't see the same thing in older people, so it looks like, once again, the time to act is when you are in midlife. Don't ignore your cholesterol. Most specialists agree that high cholesterol will contribute to your overall health in old age, and here's why. Good cardiovascular health leads to better cognitive health. Your genes matter too. Studies have linked high cholesterol with worsening cognition, especially among APOE4 gene carriers, especially if they have cardiovascular disease. Okay, let's do just a couple of recipes. Fresh and fruity. Is there a more enjoyable way to get your daily servings of fruit in than to include them in a dessert? Dive into these fresh and summery finishes. Let's start with fruit salad rice paper rolls. Prep 20 minutes, serves 6 as a dessert. Begin with 1 small mango, flesh removed, 1/4 cup of fresh lime juice, 1/4 cup of light coconut milk, 2 teaspoons of vanilla bean paste, 12 small rice paper rounds. We used 6-inch diameter rice paper rounds for this recipe. They are available from major supermarkets and Asian food stores. 2 kiwi fruit, peeled and sliced. 1/3 pound of strawberries, sliced. 1 cucumber, peeled, seeds removed, and cut into matchsticks. And 1/2 cup of mint leaves, plus extra to serve. As a cook's tip, be sure to use ripe fruit for this recipe, as they give the best flavor. Begin by coarsely chopping 1/3 of the mango flesh. Slice the remaining mango into thin batons. To make the mango coconut dipping sauce, blend or process the chopped mango, lime juice, and coconut milk, and vanilla until the mixture is smooth. Cover a chopping board with a clean, damp tea towel. Place 1 sheet of the rice paper at a time in a bowl of warm water until softened. Place on a tea towel. Top the rice paper with 1/12 of the sliced mango, kiwi fruit, strawberry, cucumber, and mint leaves in a line along the center of the sheet. Fold the bottom half of the rice paper up, then fold in both sides and roll over to enclose the filling. Repeat with the remaining rice paper and filling ingredients to make a total of 12 rolls. Place the rolls on a plastic-wrapped tray and cover with damp paper towel. Place in the fridge until ready to serve. Serve the rice paper rolls with the mango coconut dipping sauce and sprinkle with extra mint leaves. Nutritional information per serving, 100 calories. Protein 1 gram, total fat 1 gram, saturated fat 1 gram, carbs 19 grams, fiber 3 grams, sodium 94 milligrams, carb exchanges 1.5, glycemic index estimate low. This is gluten-free. Next, we have nectarine and almond tart tatin. Prep 15 minutes, cook 25 minutes, serves 2 as an occasional dessert. The first ingredient is 1 teaspoon of light margarine, 1 tablespoon of water, 1.5 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1 vanilla bean halved lengthways, seeds removed, 2 nectarines halved, seed removed, cut into thin wedges, 1 tablespoon of slivered almonds, 2 sheets of phyllo pastry, 1 teaspoon of skim milk, and 2 tablespoons of low-fat plain yogurt. Begin by preheating your oven to 200 degrees centigrade, fan forced, or 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Put the margarine, water, sugar, and vanilla bean pod and seeds in a small nonstick oven-proof frying pan over medium heat. Cook, stirring, for 1 minute or until the margarine melts and the sugar dissolves. Increase the pan heat to high. Add the nectarines and almonds. Cook, stirring, for 2 minutes or until the liquid thickens slightly. Remove the vanilla pod. Meanwhile, brush each pastry sheet on one side with the milk. Place one pastry sheet on top of the other, brushed side up. Place the pastry over the nectarines in the pan and carefully tuck pastry in around the edges. Bake for 20 minutes or until the pastry is golden brown and crisp. Carefully turn onto a plate, cut in half, and serve with the yogurt. Nutritional information per serving, 216 calories. Protein, 6 grams. Total fat, 6 grams. Saturated fat, 1 gram. Carbs are 33 grams. Fiber, 4 grams. Sodium, 108 milligrams. Carb exchanges are 2. Glycemic index estimate is medium. Strawberry ice blocks. Prep 10 minutes plus 4 hours freezing. Make 6, one per serving as a dessert. Begin with 14 ounces of strawberries, hulled and roughly chopped, 2/3 of a cup of natural yogurt, and 2 tablespoons of caster sugar or granulated sugar substitute. Put the strawberries into a blender or food processor. Cover and blend until a smooth puree. Add the yogurt and blend to combine. Divide the mixture evenly between the holes of a 6-hole ice block mold. They should be filled to the brim. Insert the ice block sticks and freeze for 4 hours or until solid. Nutritional information per serving, with sugar, 65 calories. Protein, 2 grams. Total fat, 1 gram. Saturated fat, 1 gram. 12 grams of carbs. Fiber, 2 grams. Sodium, 15 milligrams. Carb exchange is 1. Glycemic index estimate is low. And per serving with sugar substitute, 46 calories. Carb exchange is 1/2. Glycemic index estimate low. These blocks can also be made with other fruits such as raspberries, bananas, pineapple, mango, or a mix. Just adjust the amount of sugar or sugar substitute to suit the sweetness of the fruit. To make them vegan, you can swap the yogurt for apple or orange juice. Well, that's all we have time for today. I'll be back next time with more diabetic living. I'm Mary Jo Pullen. Have a terrific day.